Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your script studying, Home Depot visiting like three times a week. I'm doing a staged script reading and it feels so good to be on a theater stage again, friend.
Oh my God, that's so exciting, yeah. Bethany. And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your lost in the woods for 8 hours, wearing a gauzy beach cover-up for pajamas. My brother is home and it's really nice to be reunited and not fighting. And have my whole family together, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I am talking about making a yes, no, maybe kink list for your sex life.
Oh my goodness. What brought this on?
Bethany, it is my goal in life to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Every single podcast and just talk about sex all that I can. No, I'm joking. It is my 10-year wedding anniversary coming up.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you. I know. It's also the anniversary of our friendship.
I know, because like you invited me to your wedding before we really even knew each other.
I know. And I'm just like thinking about spicing things up lately. Mm-hmm. And Cosmo has this really good article out this week about making a kink list and like really going to unknown places with your sexual partner. And so that is why I'm talking about this. Bethany, what is on your plate this week?
I am talking about strange psychological delusions.
Oh.
I'm going to go over three of them that are real and people have experienced them and you may have never heard of them. I'll give you a preview. One is called walking corpse syndrome.
That sounds like that could be on the kink list, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right. Before we get into the nooks and crannies of this week's finely crafted episode for you, we have to address something that happened with last week's episode.
Yeah. So we got some feedback, very understandably, that people were really upset about last week's episode. There was the conversation on my end was about this purported alien experience where a dog is killed by the alien. I felt comfortable telling that because I'm really into animals too, because I truly don't believe this ever happened. Like, yes. I think it's a fake story that this guy made up. So to me, it was like, this never actually happened. But
yes,
people were upset. And then Kathleen, I know with your segment about otter rape.
I'm sorry. Yes. Initially, Bethany and I, we proposed to each other maybe a trigger warning because I did talk about otter rape and some more dog violence in that episode. And listen, Bethany and I like to surprise each other with topics.
Yeah.
We come to the table not really telling each other what we're going to talk about that day. And it was just like a really most unfortunate coincidence that we both had animal violence in, which we never talked about ever.
And so I also think that's why people were so shocked because we are such bleeding heart animal people.
I know. At first, we didn't want to put in a trigger warning because trigger warnings are very real things and we didn't want it to feel watered down.
Yeah, we want people to feel like a trigger warning is a serious thing.
Yeah.
And at first, we didn't think that many people. We thought like one person was upset and we didn't want a trigger warning for otters. Like that felt like it was almost making a joke of a trigger warning, which we would never want to do.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, we learned that more and more people were getting really upset. So we wanted to say something.
We will learn from this and we will grow.
And we are certainly never talking about otters again because apparently they are a problematic animal.
So problematic. It is a taboo topic on this podcast now.
Yeah. No more otters.
Okay. That's ahead.
All right. That said,
Bethany, what are you doing at Home Depot? Because it's my favorite place to shop.
Oh my gosh. So I'm just trying to finish up this library that I'm renovating, turning a bedroom into a library.
Yes.
And I went to Home Depot last week to get the final pieces of wood I needed to finally finish it. And I could start putting the books in.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, oh no, can't do anything about it today. The saw's broken. And I said, what?
Oh,
and he said, sometimes the guys put the sign on it that says it's out of order just because they don't want to cut the wood. But today it's actually broken. And then he just he shuffled away. So I have to try to go back again today to get those pieces of wood so I can finally finish this.
That's the beauty of places like Lowe's and Home Depot or whatever your local hardware store is, when they actually will do the wood cutting for you.
Yes, because I don't have a table saw.
Yeah.
And I don't want to saw by hand these three pieces of wood I need because they have to be exact and they have to be straight.
And it's never smooth like a table saw. Yeah. But now that you live in the country, maybe you should look into getting a table saw. You could start building furniture and stuff.
I mean, like if we had the garage to ourselves, I probably would. But we share our garage with the landlord. So it's like his stuff is in there. So there's actually no room. But that's okay.
Gotcha.
Kathleen, why did you get lost in the woods?
Okay. So my friend Lauren is like, hey, you're somebody who likes the outdoors. I'm feeling like I need some nature in my life. Do you want to go hiking? And I was like, sure, that's a great idea because Neil and I are always trying to go on more hikes and just like experience nature more. And then we recruited our other friend, Rebecca, and we're all like, yeah, we're going to do this hike. And I sent the hike on All Trails. All Trails is the best app ever for hiking because it just assumes that you're not going to have any service in the woods, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it lets you download the map ahead of time. And it also downloads like all of its navigation ahead of time. So you can still follow the app with a little arrow, kind of like driving directions somewhere, right?
So it's still able to track where you are, even if you don't have a signal?
Yes. Yes.
How do it work?
I don't know, Bethany. It's magic. It's technological magic. And we read ahead of time, like, because people on All Trails, which I like too, is that people can comment about their experience doing the trail.
Oh, cool.
And then people were like, it's not really well marked, but as long as you have the app, like you probably will be okay. What I like about All Trails also is that it talks to my Apple Watch. And when I was in Alaska, I was using it. And this is not an ad for All Trails, but really, we should reach out to see if they want to advertise with us. It'll tell my Apple Watch if I'm not like looking at my phone that I've gone off trail.
Oh, good.
Which is great. And I was bragging to my friends and my husband, all these wonderful things about this app. And for whatever reason, Bethany, my phone has been having trouble charging lately and some app burned through my battery.
I bet it was All Trails. If it's downloading all of this stuff and like keeping you monitored the whole time.
It wasn't All Trails because I've used it before and I've had no problem. There's something on my phone that's burning through battery, which is disappointing because my phone is less than a year old and my phone died.
Oh, no.
And we're like, it's fine. We're just going to keep following the trail markers. Aforementioned trail markers, which aren't great.
Yeah, which aren't really markers. They're more of a whisper of a suggestion.
And we got lost on a different trail that we weren't supposed to be on because, you know, a lot of times trails intersect and whatnot. And we were mountain climbing.
Oh, no.
We were, and I'm not talking like a total vertical mountain climb, but big boulders that were scrambling, like huge, giant vertical rock scrambles.
Was this intentional or was this a result of you going off trail?
This was the result of us going off trail.
So you were suddenly in the middle of the woods, climbing rocks like feral children.
Yeah, trying to follow a trail. And eventually we heard the road and we were like, this is our chance. We just need to walk towards where the sound of the cars are and hope that there's not like a big gorge.
This is my nightmare. This is like the end of The Descent. This is awful.
And like poor Neil is starting to lose his cool and I'm whispering to my friends, never get married.
Wait, so Neil was with you?
Neil was with us. Poor Neil, who only because of the multiple sclerosis only has like a certain amount of active hours before his legs start to feel like jelly.
Of course.
And now that we've been hiking for so many more hours than we originally planned, We made it to the road, thankfully, Bethany, and we just walked on the road up to our cars. The whole time on the road, we were only like a 10-minute walk from our cars this whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Lost in the woods,
Kathleen,
climbing these huge boulders.
The woods are so scary and dangerous. Like, our house is surrounded by woods.
Yeah.
And even though I can see through the woods, I can see at night like there is a light on. So I know there's a house somewhere in there.
On the other side.
On the other side. But it's still, even then, that's too deep for me to even, I haven't gone in there once. I look at it. Nope, nope, nope. Because as soon as you get into the woods close around you and they eat where you came from and nothing looks right. Have you seen Blair Witch 2016? Have you seen Blair Witch the OG?
I have seen Blair Witch the OG. I've not seen the updated one.
It's really good. I like it a lot.
Bethany, I'm like surprised that during the middle of the day, you know, you can mark your own trail. You can put like a, you know, like a little pin and a sticker on the tree to mark your own trail. And then you can hang like a tire swing in the woods and it's like Bridge to Terabithia, but adult version.
But how do you mark your trail in the beginning if you never find your way home again?
You mark it as you go in and then you follow the same trail out.
Oh, like the breadcrumbs in Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, yeah. So what you need to do is you need to take stickers, two different color stickers, and then pin it to the tree one color on the way in, pin it to the tree one color on the way out, okay. So at least you know which direction you're going.
Okay. All right. That's useful. That's very useful. I still won't be going in the woods. although this morning I did howl, gently howl during our morning walk because I was like, I feel like I need to howl. I don't know. We'll cut this out. Dennis, cut this out. That's mortifying.
No, no, no. Don't cut this out. You howl at the moon. You go, oh.
I'm just trying to figure out the best weird for me.
Maybe you just need to yell, fuck it. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God. Oh, so really quickly, can I tell you about this staged reading I'm doing?
Oh, yes, please do. I'm so interested.
So if you are in the Connecticut, New York, New Jersey area, September 10th at, I think, 8 p.m., I am doing a staged script reading of a play called The Sex King.
Oh!
Have you heard of this play before?
I haven't, but, I mean, two of my favorite words placed together, I'm there.
It is, it's just a two-person play. So it's me and this actor named Jack Gilpin. You may know him from The Gilded Age. He is in The Gilded Age right now. I think he plays the minister. His daughter is Betty Gilpin.
Okay, I love that TV show. Bethany, you need to watch it now. I'll give you my HBO Max login again.
Thank you. So we had our first rehearsal over the weekend, and we have another rehearsal on Friday. So it's coming up in a couple weeks, but people can totally come and see it. It's at the Mariel Center in Connecticut, and I think tickets are $20, but it's going to be good. It's not like a play. It's like, if you haven't seen a staged reading before, it's very minimal set. So it's literally, we're reading from the script, and for the majority of the time, sort of just sitting, but it's with full emotion, full acting, full relationships.
Oh, the sex
It's just, game. Yeah. So it's so good. It's such a good play, and I'm really excited.
Are you going to kiss? Do you get to kiss?
I won't tell you.
Bethany, come on.
It's based on this true story of a man in Connecticut in the mid-90s who was prosecuted for having a prostitution ring in the city, but he claims that it was just a consensual escort service. And I play a reporter who comes to interview him about it, and things go wonky.
Okay, well, will you put the information about attending in our show notes
every
episode we do now leading up to September 10th?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, so exciting, Bethany. I cannot wait to see you fornicate on stage. This is my dream come true.
Fully nude, like Equus. Oh, Kathleen.
Yeah.
We are now heading into the fall season, which is the season of being outside with a cup of cocoa around a fire, telling scary stories like your debt is looming and everything's falling apart.
Bethany, don't stop. You know that's my favorite time of year and I love scary stories. Keep going.
But when we're talking about fire pits, we're not talking about something dug in your backyard that gets smoke all up in your face. We're talking about Solo Stove, our beloved Solo Stove.
Welcome fall and welcome Solo Stove season.
So Solo Stove is this amazing fire pit. It is portable. It is made with a smokeless design so that the smoke shoots up, not out. So you're not going to play musical chairs trying to move so the wind doesn't blow the smoke in your face. And your clothes are not going to reek like a campfire when you're done.
And Bethany, let me tell you, I was recently around someone's campfire who didn't have a solo stove. And the entire time I'm just sitting there, the wind blows in one direction, then I have to get up and move. And I'm sitting there thinking, is it rude if I tell this person about solo stove? Because I am not having a good time right now.
Yeah, no, it is not rude. It is a gentle reminder that you can do better.
Bethany and I both have solo stoves. Bethany's mom has a solo stove. My mom has a solo stove.
Dennis's sister has a solo stove.
I've got friends who have solo stoves. And I'm already planning a big event where I'm going to do an outdoor party. It's going to be an evening party where there's going to be like a plethora of fall flavored drinks. Oh. And I'm going to have a movie screen and my solo stove for like this a total outdoor experience.
If you have not gotten yourself a solo stove, now is the time to do it because you are heading into the time of year where it's important that you have a solo stove, friend. So right now, you can get big discounts on all fire pits during Solo Stove's Labor Day sale. And if you use the promo code TASTE at solostove.com, you're going to get an extra $10 off.
That's solostove.com, promo code TASTE, for $10 off on top of their already incredible Labor Day discounts. But hurry, the Labor Day sale ends September 11th. Hey, Taste Buds, Kathleen here. Just want to give you a heads up that the conversation that we're going to have in section two is definitely a conversation for adult ears only. So in case there are any little kiddos hanging around you right now, pop in those earbuds because we are discussing mature content. So, Bethany.
Yeah?
When it comes to your sex life, are there things that you want to maybe try that society has sort of made you feel bad about, or that you're afraid to bring up to your partner, or that it's hard for you to just talk about sex in general with your partner?
I want to try using an egg beater in the bedroom, but I have been told by society that is painful. And it's not going to work, Bethany, is what society has told me.
Okay, but like if you put it on the first, you know, the first setting, it's a very light beat, you know, very like a frothy egg.
I'm thinking about one of those old timey ones that you crank yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It seems, I don't know what I would do with it, but it seems like a fun thing to bring into the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, like a very mechanical, controlled spank of sorts.
I think it's more like it'll grind your skin up. But no, I mean, I'm super private about that stuff. So it's hard for me to, talk about, but
yes.
Okay.
This exact reaction, Bethany, is what I was trying to elicit from you.
Oh, good.
Because I know in the past you've said you remember your sex education from high school and just public school in general. And basically, didn't they say to you, like, don't have sex, you'll get AIDS and die?
Yes. It was, if you have sex outside of marriage, I'm so sad for your generation, you'll all get AIDS.
Oh my.
That's really,
God.
That was like really what our sex education was. Like, we learned about the different body parts.
Yes.
We learned, you know, what the vas deferens were.
The fallopian tubes.
Yeah. It was largely like, you're going to die of AIDS.
I wonder what it's like for kids to go through sex education nowadays in parts of the country which are pretty liberal with that kind of stuff. Like, I know in states, in red states where that stuff is still kind of like, abstinence is still like the main underlying theme in sex education. Like, I already know what those kids are being taught and it's bullshit. But I wonder what it's like if any gentle listeners, if you are sex educators and you're teaching teens and middle schoolers about this kind of stuff, please write in and let us know sort of like what your curriculum is.
I think there's probably a lot more conversation about consent.
Yes.
Now than there used to be, which is, you know, hopeful.
And accepting people who identify sexually in different ways, I hope, right?
Yes, I hope.
I mean, even in Mean Girls, I think the sex ed teacher was like, don't have sex, you'll get pregnant and die, right? And I don't really remember much about my sex education other than I grew up feeling embarrassed to talk about that stuff.
Of course. You know, sex was never like a taboo topic, but for me it was, because I think there was so much shame put around it in schools. It was like, this was the 90s. You are going to die of AIDS, which is so weird.
I know. So crazy, right? But you know what? In New Jersey, we never had that kind of like, you're going to die from AIDS. But it was very much like, you're going to get pregnant and then you have to drop out of school.
Yes.
Type thing.
Yes. It's one step away from your family will send you to a nunnery for 9 months.
Yeah. Like, don't be one of the pregnant girls in school who can't take gym, because then you'll never go to college and then you'll never get a good job and then your life will be ruined.
Yeah, we know how college applications just demand gym. You didn't play badminton for 2 weeks? Oh, I'm so sorry.
I got a D in gym once. Can you believe that? I'm like fairly athletic.
That's hurtful.
I was late every day because I was at home doing lunch at home watching Dawson's Creek, and then I was late every single day.
Then you deserved that D. Kathleen, you deserved that D.
I did deserve that D.
Isn't it funny how stories go? You told the beginning of that story as though you were a victim, but it turns out you were the victim of your own time management.
You know, we can only say this to each other because we're good friends. So what I'm trying to get at is that if you had this sort of like very average sex education in America, talking about kink or leaning into your kink, if that is a world that you haven't yet like dipped your toe into, mm-hmm. It's very hard to decide when to dip your toe into that because fear of rejection.
Totally. Yeah. And it's one of the worst rejections ever because it's like super vulnerable.
Certainly there have been times when I've like tried to initiate sex with Neil and he's like, no, I'm sorry, not tonight. Mm-hmm. And while I say that to him all the time, once he says that to me, forget it. I throw my hands in the air and I'm like, we're never doing it again. Like, because it's because I feel rejected.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking about, you know, wanting to experiment in the bedroom, it's natural to sort of do it when you're in the throes of passion.
Yes.
But this article that I read in Cosmo that I'll link in the show notes, they suggest talking about this stuff with your partner ahead of time using a yes, no, maybe list.
This is very interesting to me.
Because, you know, yes, no, maybe. It's like you pass a note in sixth grade. Do you want to be my girlfriend? Yes, no, maybe type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels a little elementary, but stay with me.
Okay, okay.
In the throes of passion, you're going to be rejected if you haven't given your partner a heads up.
Yeah, if it's like you're doing it and doing it and doing it, and then you say to your partner, do me like I'm a flat earther.
Yeah, or deeper, put your member inside of me, you jackhammer of a partner.
Grab that papaya. Let's see what happens. Like, it can be alarming. Happens. And then you have to get out of bed and go to the fridge and grab the papaya. And, you know, it just kind of takes you out of the moment.
Or say you keep a canister of whipped cream in your nightstand and your partner's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't know we were having dessert tonight.
I have a lactose intolerance.
I'm on keto right now. You know.
Babe, you know I'm keto.
Is that coconut whipped cream? Because I'm not doing dairy.
I just hit ketosis. Why can't you? Don't throw me off.
What is ketosis anyway? I don't even know. Do you know that in New York, I think they just passed a bill, or they're trying to pass a bill where you can't buy whipped cream.
Saw that.
Unless you're 21 years old.
Yeah, because they don't want people doing them whippets.
That is the wildest thing to me.
Yeah.
Because what if you're 17 and you got your license and you just want to make an ice cream sundae?
I know. Well, I think you can get yourself some cool whip in the tub.
Oh.
You just can't get some of that sweet, sweet aerosol frothy milk.
Or this is when an egg beater or, you know, like a beater would come in, right?
Totally. Take it out of the nightstand drawer, bring it back into the kitchen.
And get yourself some heavy cream and do it the old-fashioned way.
Do it like our foremothers.
Okay. So having a list, a yes, no, maybe list, it is, you see it, it's a graphic or written representation. It is essentially a sex negotiation tool.
Okay.
Very much like, I don't know, trying to convince a bank robber to come out of the bank without harming anybody. Like, it's a negotiation tool.
Yeah. Will you come out of the bank, yes, no, or maybe?
Yes. Yes, no, maybe. We have a helicopter full of money waiting to take you to the Virgin Islands. It's just like, can I like derail my topic for a second?
Sure.
Is there ever a helicopter full of money waiting to take anybody to the Virgin Islands?
Never.
Never.
There never is. And if there is, it's driven by an FBI agent.
Yes.
Or flown, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
And that FBI agent is is not playing the role of an undercover helicopter pilot very well.
Yeah.
And so the person who's holding everyone hostage is going to smell that, you know, rat real fast.
Like, obviously, the FBI is just going to put you in that fake helicopter and, like, helicopter you to jail, you know, or prison or whatever. What's important about a yes, no, maybe list is that not only can it help you identify with your partner what kind of sex acts, sort of kink that they would be open to you, it can also identify emotional experiences that you and your partner want to experience during sex.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you need to make two lists, one for the actual kink act, but another one for the feelings that you want to feel during sex.
Okay.
For example, kink coach Princess Kali, founder of kinkacademy.com.
Is it accredited?
It is credited in the article.
Is it accredited? Like, you get actual school points for this? Can you get a diploma that actually gets you a job?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
But I imagine that if you were applying to somewhere where kink was involved, this might be a feather in your cap, like a a continuing education certification.
Very good point. Very good point.
Princess Kali from Kink Academy. She says that listing a yes, no, maybe of sexual feelings too is important because take spanking, for instance, right?
Sure.
Maybe you're into spanking, but you don't want to feel pain because there are different levels of spanking.
Yeah.
You know, it's a light spank when you're riding your partner is one thing, as opposed to like, you've been a naughty girl and I'm going to put you over my knees and I'm going to punish you. That's degrading.
Yes. There is a very big difference between like a slap of appreciation and making someone feel embarrassed or like crap.
And listen, degradation, like feeling degraded during sex, is another level of kink. Some people are into that. And so that's why it's important to do like two lists. Because for instance, I like a light spank, but I don't want to feel like I'm being painfully punished, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Like, okay. So I totally get that. And also, it helps you make a list of goals, right? Because then you can, because all things kink are layered.
Okay. Like a parfait.
Like a parfait. There we go with that whipped cream again and the whippets, Bethany.
Hell yeah.
So let's think about pegging, right? We used to talk about pegging in the intro to this podcast before we changed it up.
Pegging, if you don't know what pegging is, Kathleen, can you describe?
Yeah, or, pegging is when a male partner or a masculine representing partner who usually does the insertion somewhere. I'm not a sex expert. Bethany is not a sex expert.
Isn't it when someone who doesn't have a penis wears a penis
and
penetrates someone who would not normally be the penetrati?
That's it. Bethany, there you go. See, you're so much better at this than I am. But there are like ways to work up to pegging with like, oh my God, I hope my mom's not listening to this.
She definitely isn't.
Anal play.
Sure.
Or doing like a little rimming before actual you like, there are layers, a layered cake, a layered parfait to work up into the kink act that you are interested in or maybe interested in, right? Because if you put something in your maybe list, you like want to explore the first steps of that, but maybe that will turn you off and that's no list.
I'm trying not to make every joke because this is a very actual, this is a serious conversation. But when you said like sort of introducing it, I just pictured a woman like making brunch for her partner wearing a strap-on, like to just casually introduce it. Like she's dressed normally.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can sort of see it like poking out from under her shirt. Like, I don't know where she's wearing it.
But if she's just wearing her everyday dungarees and she wears it on top.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
Like a tail, but in the other on the front.
Yeah. Or like maybe you want to explore choking, but instead of going like full throttle choking, you just like want your partner to rest their hand maybe on your throat.
Sure. Right? Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that type of thing. Yes, no, maybe for the actual kink and the feelings that you want to feel during sex, because those feelings will direct exactly where that kink goes.
That's so important. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm just thinking about like the choking thing, for example.
Yeah.
Like to specify, I want to feel a level of like dangerous excitement.
Yes.
Versus I want to feel like I'm about to be killed. Those yes. are two very different things. And if your partner doesn't know what you're going for,
yes.
it can quickly become very traumatic very quickly.
And those two different feelings could, I don't know, both fit underneath the category of invader in my house.
Yeah.
Kink play.
Yeah, definitely.
Two totally different feelings. I just sent you a link in the chat. So Cosmo actually, if this is something that you're interested in, Cosmo actually gives you a list to start off with in terms of like what to even add to your kink list if you feel lost as to what to add.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay. Uh-huh. Bethany, do we want to like read down what they add?
No.
Yes, Bethany. you do the first column, I'll do the second column.
I don't want to.
Come on, Bethany.
I don't want my voice to be able to be clipped and then have me just saying these things.
Okay, so I'll do it. Anal sex, anal rimming, bathing together. That one's easy.
One's nice.
Okay, you can do the next one, Bethany.
Okay. Biting.
Yes.
Blindfolds.
Uh-huh.
Body massage.
Bondage. Choking, cock rings, couples vibrators, dirty talk.
Sure.
Edging, fingering. Can you do the next one?
Food play,
toe sucking.
Hair pulling,
hot wax.
Handcuffs.
Okay. Mutual masturbation.
Uh-huh.
Nipple play. Do you want to do the next one?
No, thank you.
Okay, oral sex, pegging, penetrative sex, period sex, phone sex, shower sex, sexting, spanking, swallowing cum, threesomes. I think this next one is safe for you to say.
Role play.
Yes.
Like I, again, am a flat earther.
Yes.
And you're a scientist. Oh my gosh, conflict.
I'm going to show you that evolution really existed, baby. And then like watching porn together. I think that this is a really good like starter list.
And what I like about it is that yeah. they alphabetized it. So it's easy to access what you're looking for.
I didn't even realize that. Look at you. You're so into processes. Okay. And also, just because you have this list with one partner doesn't mean that your list has to stay the same with a different partner. Because sometimes you'll be with a partner who is femme identifying. And maybe your kink list is different with that partner than it is with somebody who is submissive identifying, right?
Sure. For sure. Ooh, yeah.
And I think that's important to think about with every partner that you have. And I think it's sort of exciting to imagine yourself if you're not in a long-term relationship where you're only mm-hmm. having sex with that one other person. If you're sort of, you know, like exploring sexual playgrounds of sorts, it's exciting to think that you can be sexually different with different feelings, different kinks with different people. And Bethany, isn't it exciting to think that you can be sexually one way with one partner and sexually another way with another partner if you're not in a monogamous relationship and you can try different things?
It's like starting a new school.
Yes.
You can reinvent yourself and be whoever you want to be. Maybe
yes.
now you wear headbands.
Or maybe now you, I don't know, you like whips and leather.
Yeah.
But in your next relationship, you're all about feather play.
Ooh, feather play.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's all okay. And this goes without saying, just because someone has written something on their kink list that maybe they want to try, you still need to get verbal consent from them along the way.
Fully.
Like every step of the way. And it's good for you to remember to remind your partner that just because you wrote pegging is on your maybe list or on your yes list, they still need to get consent with you every sort of layer that you go a little bit deeper.
Yeah. And keep checking in with them.
Yeah.
As it's going on.
Yes.
Make sure, hey, you still good?
I mean, sharing sexual desires is a good thing. And
yes.
self-acceptance when it comes to your sexual desires is also a good thing. Something that we didn't learn in freaking sex education.
No, because sex was for specifically a husband and a wife.
Yes.
To do together.
Yeah.
In the shame and privacy of their own house.
Yeah.
For the purpose of having some babies.
And you listen, if you want to say to your partner, go deeper, you dirty whore, make me your dumpster.
Jesus Christ.
That's totally cool. Just make sure your partner is on board with that language and those sexual feelings.
Make sure your partner likes to be called a whore.
Yeah. Just make sure your sexual partner is okay with those feelings that that language provokes before you say it. I can't believe I just said dumpster. New season, back to feeling like your best self ever. And that is why I am so excited to work Lumi Labs microdose gummies into my everyday routine.
Yeah, if you haven't heard about microdosing or you've heard about it, but you're not really sure about it, Kathleen and I are big fans of microdosing. It's just taking a very small amount, in this case, of THC, and it doesn't get you high at all.
No.
Don't worry about that. What it does is just sort of take the edge off of your stresses. It can help you sink into the moment better if you're someone who's always anxious and thinking about the future. It can help you be more creative. It can help you just focus and be able to live life without the kind of frazzled brain or the stress.
The other day, it was about, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Somebody called me with some news that had me totally frazzled. The type of call where after your heart is beating fast and you can't focus on the work that you were doing before the call came in.
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, I'm not going to spiral right now because old Kathleen would have done that. I was like, I'm going to get out my watermelon sorbet Lumi Lab microdose gummies and I'm going to take one of these. And I'm going to refocus my energy and I'm going to feel better. And Bethany, sure enough, I was able to close out my day, actually getting work done that I needed to get done. And then I was able to sleep that night, which previously I would have been up all night just thinking about everything that was stressing me out.
Yeah, sleep is a big part of why we love microdosing and why we love Lumi Labs microdose gummies. Microdosing can also help with pain. It can help with workout and recovery, a creative boost, like I said, and a big one, sleep. Microdose is available nationwide.
To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and then use the code TASTE to get free shipping and 30% off of your first order.
Links can be found in our show notes, but again, that's microdose.com and then use the code TASTE. Kathleen,
yeah.
Kathleen.
You're my mom. Kathleen.
Kathleen. You know you're in trouble if your name becomes more syllables than it should be.
Yes, it is.
I love diagnosing people with mental illnesses.
Yes.
Now, it's not something I do officially, and my therapist keeps telling me it's inappropriate. But as I was going through the internet and looking at different psychological disorders I diagnose my family with,
yes,
I came upon three incredibly fascinating psychological disorders.
Oh, cool. Does anybody in your family have them?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, what a bummer.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start with the first one.
Yeah.
Let's imagine that you are at a family dinner. It's a big family reunion, okay? It's you, your mom, hot Bert, whoever your mom is dating right now, the landscaper, maybe some distant cousins, and a guy who just showed up and no one knows who he is. Everyone else assumes someone else invited him.
That makes sense because we've basically estranged everybody else, so
Yay! You're not living life unless you've estranged at least one person.
It's a thrill. It's a thrill that everyone should know.
But as you look at your mom, Kathleen.
Yes.
You get this awful feeling and you know for a fact that your mom is not your mom. She has been replaced by an identical imposter.
Oh my God.
Your mom looks the same, speaks the same, and behaves exactly the same, but you know it is not your mom. It is someone pretending to be your mom.
So I am confused, obviously.
Yes, and scared and probably feeling persecuted.
And also like not feeling the love towards this person that I would typically feel towards my mom. And so I start treating this person very poorly because I'm like, who is this stranger impersonating my mother in her house?
Yes, exactly. Put a pin in the you're not feeling the emotional love for her. Okay.
Okay.
Put a pin in
got it. Got it.
This is called Capgras delusion.
Huh.
I've also heard it pronounced Capgras or Capgras.
Okay.
But it's Capgras. Capgras delusion.
This is like when people call Target Target.
Target.
I call Home Depot.
Yeah. The home depot. Okay, so this delusion is a psychiatric disorder in which a person holds the delusion that a friend, spouse, parent, or other close family member, or even a pet, has been replaced by an identical imposter.
A pet?
Yeah.
Cats and dogs are smart, but like not that smart.
It's like, I know that you look like Fluffy, you're acting like Fluffy, and you're rejecting my love like Fluffy does, but you're not Fluffy.
Imagine as a child, your pet died and your parents didn't tell you, and they replaced your pet with an identical looking pet. And then that sets the groundwork for you getting cap grass when you're an adult.
Oh, no. That's like the plot of every sitcom episode from the 80s and 90s, at least one of those.
Your parents did it to you.
Yep.
It's your fault. I think that you're an imposter.
So capgrass syndrome is fixed, meaning that no matter what the person says to you to try to convince you that they are themselves, they're not fake, the person will keep the delusion up. And it's most commonly occurring in people who have schizophrenia.
Yeah.
It's also been seen if you have a brain injury or dementia, different types of dementia, this can show up.
I think this was an episode of Law and Order.
Really?
Yes. Bethany, if I am recalling my extensive knowledge of Law and Order correctly.
Which I trust.
Where they were keeping a child locked in a closet, a mother, because the mother was convinced that the child there wasn't her actual daughter.
Oh.
It was just a replacement for her daughter, and her real daughter had gone off somewhere.
That sounds like it.
So confusing for a small child who's like, Mom, it's really me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the mother is totally emotionally shut off to this child and doesn't care about the well-being of this child. So complicated and so sad looking at it from the outside.
Yeah. And if it's like aimed towards a child.
Yeah.
Nice and traumatic for that poor kid.
I mean, I don't want to make light of this very serious mental illness, but imagine it happened to me and I thought you were an imposter. And I was like, well, we still got to put out a podcast anyway. And she looks like Bethany and she talks like Bethany, but she's not Bethany. And I started saying things to you like, Bethany would never do it that way.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't need this.
It's so crazy. But like, it would only happen behind the scenes because to everybody else, you're the real Bethany. But to me, you are an alien replacement.
Total replacement.
Yeah.
So this also occurs more frequently in females with a female to male ratio of approximately 3 to 2. So go ladies.
Mm. Yeah, go ladies. Woohoo.
So what causes this? Let's talk about some brain stuff.
Yeah.
When you see someone you know, let's say, Kathleen, you look at your mother.
Yes.
Your eye sends signals to the occipital cortex in your brain, the back of your brain, and then to the fusiform area of the brain, which is responsible for recognizing faces. Okay? So your brain is like, I know this face.
Okay.
Then a signal is sent to the amygdala, which releases chemicals that lead to the development of emotions. So you see someone you know, your brain recognizes them, and then your brain connects to the amygdala and releases the good feelings you associate with them.
Wow, God, that's confusing.
Super confusing.
Yeah, detailed.
But if you have capgrass syndrome, there is not a connection between the fusiform area and the amygdala. So you can recognize the face, but you don't get the release of positive emotions associated with the person. And so you don't feel that love and affection you have for them. So it feels like an imposter has stolen their body.
Well, I wonder what part of the brain is not up to full speed in your brain, Bethany, because you have facial blindness.
Yeah, I have a hard time recognizing faces. Dennis and I were watching something the other day. Oh, it was a commercial.
Yeah.
It's a commercial where a guy like in his 30s in a suit, business suit, is talking to younger him who has like long hair and a beard and is wearing like board shorts. And they're talking to each other and they're supposed to be the same person. And I said to Dennis, is that the same actor playing both of them? Because I couldn't tell what they looked like. He was like, no, it's a different actor. And I was like, well,
that's...
could have fooled me.
That's wild that even on screen, back to back, you still can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I have a really hard... It, for me especially, it's white men for some reason, I have such a hard time distinguishing the faces. And it's not like a politically intentional thing.
Yeah.
It just is like when I watch British cozy mysteries and all it is different lieutenants and sergeants talking to each other about solving this mystery. I'm like, you all are the same person.
No, I understand that.
Next one. Imagine you're going throughout your day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have coffee with Neil. And then you go to record the podcast with me, and then you go grab a cup of coffee and you chat with the barista,
mm-hmm.
and then you run to Target to get batteries and you chat with a chick at the register, and then you go home.
Yes.
But you feel this awful sense of dread because every single person you interacted with today was actually Neil in disguise. Neil is following you everywhere, putting on disguises to be different people. So Neil was Neil this morning. He was also the barista at the coffee shop. He was also the person at Target. He was also the chick at the register.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open because that would take much more effort on Neil's part. I've never seen him be that ambitious in his entire life. But also, how isolating that must feel for the person suffering from this disorder.
Yeah. So this is called Fregoli delusion.
Oh.
And it's that you believe that different people are in fact a single person who changes appearances or is in disguise. And usually you believe it's to persecute you in some way. Causes. There's a medication used to treat Parkinson's that has a possible side effect of causing this delusion.
Stop. Can you imagine having Parkinson's and then you believe this too?
Like, you're going through enough.
Oh.
And by the way, the medicine is called levodopa or levodopa.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, if you're curious. It can also be caused by a traumatic brain injury, obviously.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Yeah.
Not only do you believe this, it also takes up your energy pretending to not. Like, so you go to, you're chatting with the barista, thinking that it's somebody else, and then you expend all of this energy trying to convince that barista that you think that they're actually somebody else instead of the person that they actually are.
And even if you're not trying to convince them, you believe this. How scary. Like, truly how scary.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're being chased.
Yeah.
Followed around.
Yeah.
It's a very isolating, scary feeling, I have to imagine.
And like, even on the part of the barista, say that you go to this coffee shop often and you're rude to this barista because you think it's your husband in disguise.
Yeah.
Terrifying for all parties.
So scary.
Oh my God.
So there's an example of this from the National Library of Medicine. It's a case study called A Contemporary Case of Fregoli Syndrome by Tanya Kochu-Parakal. And/or E. Simon. They talk about Mr. A, a 21-year-old man, was referred to their psychiatric outpatient service in 2010 with a first episode of schizophrenia. So he had developed the belief that his daily facial cream caused women, like female students, to be strongly attracted to him.
Oh my
God. And
he
also believed that this cream was perfecting his face. So he then was on Facebook a ton because it was 2010. We were all on Facebook a ton.
Yeah, everyone was posting pictures and selfies of everything they were doing back then.
Completely. So he connected with this one woman and he wanted to be in an intimate relationship with her.
Yeah.
But she wasn't interested, so she sort of withdrew. He then developed the belief that every time he was contacted by a different woman on Facebook, any woman, different women, he believed that they were, in fact, the first young woman that he had been in contact with before, and that she was now disguising herself as all of these other different women.
It's heartbreaking enough to almost make me want to cry right now.
It's a lot. And by the way, they looked at his brain. They did neurological assessments, and they saw no abnormalities. So that's weird.
That is terrifying. Mm-hmm.
All right, lastly.
Yeah.
This is Cotard's delusion or walking corpse syndrome.
Bethany, you teased this in section one, and I've been waiting to hear you talk about this.
Well, so what do you think walking corpse syndrome is?
I think that you think that you're dead and you're still living amongst the alive.
Exactly. So the person believes that either they're already dead, maybe that they're rotting from the inside. Some people believe they've lost organs or body parts. Some people believe they don't bleed. So, for example, if they're going in for a blood test, they may tell the phlebotomist, well, you can give it your best shot, but there's no blood inside me, so you're not going to be able to get any. You're going to have a hard time.
So what happens when the blood actually comes out? They're like, oh, I didn't know that was in there.
I think it may cause a real sense of confusion and,
yeah,
you know, probably having a tough time. Some people may feel instead that they are dead in some other way, like they've lost their soul. And some die of starvation because they feel like they don't have to eat anymore. Because, like, I'm dead, so why bother?
I have never heard of this before.
Mm-hmm. This is usually caused by a malfunction in an area of the brain called the fusiform, which we already said, which mm-hmm. recognizes faces, and also in the amygdala. So here's an actual case of this that it's not too old. A 17-year-old from Alabama, her name is Haley Smith, she told the Daily Mail that she dealt with this for 3 years.
Oh my God.
She said her parents had just gotten a divorce. She was not handling it well. She said, one day I was sitting in an English class. I had this really weird sensation that I was dead and I couldn't shake it. She went to see the school nurse. Obviously, the school nurse was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, obviously, this is not part of my training.
Yeah, I'm not really qualified to diagnose mental illness.
Imagine a nurse like freaking out. Do you need CPR right now?
Like, I don't know what to do with this. So she walked home. She thought about visiting a graveyard just to be close to others who were also dead. But she wasn't near a graveyard. So she went home, tried to sleep it off, and which worked.
Yeah.
But then a few days later, she felt the same thing. She said, I was out shopping when the sudden feeling returned. My whole body went numb and I dropped all the dresses I was holding and ran out of the shop. I felt like I was going mad and the feeling didn't go away. So she started missing school. She was sleeping through the day and staying up at night. She said she would fantasize about having picnics in graveyards. She would watch horror films because seeing zombies made her feel relaxed, like she was hanging out with her family.
I am not convinced that you don't have this. Bethany, I don't want to diagnose you because, as we've said, neither one of us are doctors or psychologists
No.
But you have facial blindness, and I just Googled how do people damage their fusiform? And the first thing that came up was, do people with facial blindness have damage to their fusiform area? And I'm just saying that zombie movies do also make you feel like you're hanging out and calm, you
yeah.
know, with family.
And I do love hanging out in graveyards. I always have.
Dennis used to take a daily walk through a graveyard.
Yeah.
Post pictures of it. Maybe you and Dennis are perfect for each other because you have identical fusiform damage.
Yeah, issues.
Issues.
The fusiform issue in me honors the fusiform issue in you.
So tell me more about this girl. Did she ever get over it?
Yes, she did. So here, okay, this is also like a really sad testament to how women feel about their bodies in this age, day and age, because she said she started eating whatever she wanted because she said, well, I can't put on weight if I'm dead. So, like, even diet culture was in her brain as she believes she's dead. Is that fascinating?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. I just pounded my fist on my thigh, and I probably bruised myself, but it's okay because I'm dead. No.
It's fine.
Diet culture, even in that state of mind, seeped into her psyche.
Yes, totally.
Dang.
So this is where friends are amazing. Because she finally got the nerve up to tell one of her friends, and she said she assumed he was going to laugh at her or roll his eyes or, you know, tell her she was weird. But he didn't act shocked. He listened.
Oh.
And that positive response gave her the nerve to tell her dad. She was then sent to a psychiatrist who seems like they tripped over themselves to diagnose her with Cotard's. Like, they were like, this is a thing. You have a thing. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
And she was so relieved. So she then starts going online to like connect to other people who have this.
Yeah.
And she said she found other people who also wanted to spend time in graveyards. And she felt like, you know, she wasn't the only one. So going to therapy helped her, but also the best, I think this is really sweet.
Yeah.
She said the other thing that got her through it and helped her come back into her body again were Disney films. She said they gave her a warm, fuzzy feeling watching them.
Oh.
And she hopes to get married and get a job at Disney because she's better now and she realizes that she's alive. But
wow,
it's fascinating because so when I was 17, my parents got divorced too.
Yeah.
And so it's this time in your life where you are, you know, like fully in development, your hormones are all over the place. And also if something traumatic happens, your brain does whatever it can figure out to handle it. In my case, you know, I got an eating disorder and I had some depression. And in her case, she developed, you know, Cotard's, which is it's just fascinating. So
it's fascinating.
Those are the three really interesting delusions that people can have.
Maybe it was a coping mechanism that if she were dead, she wouldn't have to deal with anything that was happening in her life.
Oh, man. Isn't that interesting? That's I don't know. It's very possible. It makes sense.
And I love that you brought up the fact that her friend didn't laugh at her, didn't say you're just nuts and leave her stranded. And that is a good lesson for all of us that if somebody in your life tells you something that seems absolutely batshit crazy, at the very least, just Google it.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that my mom is amazing at, and really my dad too, is they are never shocked when I tell them something, especially something vulnerable. If it's like, I made this awful choice and now I have this thing, now I have this disease or whatever.
Yeah.
My mom or dad will never be like, oh my God, why would you do that? Or freak out. It's always like, okay, all right, let's figure out how we're going to get through this. And so I feel safe telling them anything.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Kathleen. It's such a good lesson in if someone seems scared and is opening up to you about something they're going through or a fear they have or maybe their kink list, give them the respect of not freaking out or being shocked and just listen because they probably are very nervous to be doing this.
And it might just be their brain's coping mechanism and they have no control.
Yep, exactly. So Kathleen, you know I was out in public the other day and one of my favorite things to do is to listen to what other people are talking about, like a giant creep. And I overheard this couple talking about how freaking expensive everything has gotten and they were trying to figure out where they could tighten things up and, you know, reduce spending a little bit. And Kathleen, that is why you and I are such huge fans of the app Upside.
Yes.
Because whether it's getting gas or getting a crazy eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, we are all being hit with inflation. And Upside is going to let you get money back for buying things like gas, groceries, and food at restaurants.
And it's not just like big name brands that have partnered with Upside. A lot of my local neighborhood restaurants have partnered with Upside too. When I'm in the city, I always open my Upside app so I can see what businesses around me have partnered with Upside. Because if I'm going to buy a coffee anyway, I'm going to buy a coffee at a place where I can get some cash back, right?
Absolutely. It's free money and it's super simple. First of all, you download the free Upside app. And if you use our promo code AAT, you'll get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Then you claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. You check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and you get paid.
Once you download the app, you can see your favorite brands, grocery stores, and restaurants that you go to all the time that work with Upside. So like Shell Station and BP and Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts and Papa John's and Popeyes. You're going to find something there that works with Upside and you're going to go there anyway, so you might as well get cash back.
Totally. And in comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. You should be part of that.
So download the free Upside app and use the promo code AAT to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more.
That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code AAT.
Bethany.
What, Kathleen?
It's that time of year again.
What's that?
pumpkin spice latte season.
Dude, I saw someone on Instagram sitting on a pumpkin throne with a pumpkin on her head covered in leaves and holding a pumpkin spice latte. And I was like, here we go.
Well, I'll tell you, I was lost in the forest yesterday and the leaves surely are turning colors.
They sure are. I think it's because we're in a drought.
That might be it.
So they're turning like earlier.
Yeah.
But it is, I can feel it, Kathleen, and I am so happy. It's going to start to get cooler out.
It is.
Do you want me to continue to send you pictures of different colored pumpkins when I go to TJ Maxx and Marshall's, or are you kind of over that?
No, if you send me pictures of colored pumpkins, I will send you pictures of anytime I come across Raven decor.
Thank you very much.
And so I'm bringing this up because Glamour put out a list of all of the fall drinks at Starbucks, and there are more fall drinks than there ever have been in the past.
Okay, please tell me, because I want to see if this ventures into the ridiculous.
Okay, so we have, of course, the pumpkin spice latte, classic, right?
Classic, classic.
Pumpkin cream cold brew.
Oh.
I'll tell you this, cold brew with any sort of flavored fluffy cream at the top, A plus on my list. Love it.
Do they tell you how they make it, or are they just giving the names?
It is sweetened with vanilla syrup, topped with pumpkin cream cold foam with a dusting of pumpkin spice. It's worth noting that because of the fluffy cold foam, this fan favorite cannot be made vegan or dairy free.
Okay, gotcha. It sounds good.
Then we have the apple crisp oat milk macchiato.
Oh my God. Tell me more.
The oat milk adds creaminess and brings forward the oat flavors of a traditional apple crisp topping.
Oh my gosh.
Right? The apple crisp oat milk macchiato is available hot, iced, or blended as a frappuccino.
My God. Continue. These sound so good.
I know. Pumpkin hot chocolate.
Yep. Yes, please. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Glamour writes, confession, we've already listed all of the official fall drinks, but who doesn't like to go off menu once in a while?
I don't get that.
I don't know.
Wait,
I guess because it's not a traditional coffee drink, but it has the word pumpkin in it, so whatever.
Okay.
Then you've got the caramel apple spice.
Oh, yes, that sounds good. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and because the caramel sauce is made with dairy, these drinks technically cannot be made dairy-free. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yes, it's like sweet caramel. Isn't it like sweetened condensed milk that you just put overheat?
Oh, I never thought about that with caramel. So caramel is inherently not vegan.
Yeah, wait, let me look that up because now I feel like I may be nuts.
No, no, no. I think you're right. You cook sweetened condensed milk down and it makes caramel.
When sugar is heated to 340 degrees.
Okay, so I guess you can also have vegan caramel. It's made with coconut milk instead and vegan butter. So I guess there's butter in caramel too.
I think some of it is made with cream.
That is where it's not vegan. Anyway, caramel at Starbucks is a dairy product. So if you're a vegan, don't order it. They list the chai latte.
Classic. Love it.
Starbucks nitro cold brew with pumpkin cream.
Anything called nitro cold brew makes my jaw lock automatically because that's how I feel when I drink it. Like, just...
Yeah, yeah. I don't like nitro coffee.
I don't either.
My brother is obsessed with it, but Neil also likes it, but it just, like, I don't like the texture, and that stuff doesn't bother me. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, why are you making it foamy? Why is it bubbly?
And it's funny when you walk into a place that's known for its nitro, because it looks like everybody's just sitting around drinking a Guinness.
Like, yeah, totally.
It's 11:30 in the morning. Why are you all drinking already? I mean,
no one's telling delightful Irish stories.
And then lastly, the Starbucks pumpkin spice flavored non-dairy creamer is now available, which has almond milk and oat milk based ingredients in it. But you still get that comforting flavor of pumpkin spice. And if you don't want the seasonal drink to be too sweet, it's only a 30 calorie creamer, which is a nice way to enjoy the season without too much sugar.
Speaking of too much sugar.
Yeah.
I was in the city a couple weeks ago and desperately needed coffee.
Yeah.
And the only place nearby me that had coffee was McDonald's.
Oh.
And you know I love a McDonald's beverage.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I went in and I just was like going down their McCafe menu, not sponsored by McDonald's. And I randomly hit their caramel macchiato and ordered it.
Oh,
Kathleen, it is so damn friggin' good.
Yeah.
It is so good. I think about it at night. I daydream about it. Every time I pass a McDonald's now, I'm like, should I pull in and stop and should I get one? It is somehow more delicious than any other caramel macchiato I've ever tried before. It is
really
freaking delicious. Oh,
my teeth also sort of hurt hearing you even just say the name.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so yesterday, when I was lost in the woods along the same lines of like delicious beverages, Bethany, I just kept thinking about Sprite. I'm lost in the woods and I'm like, when I get out of here, I'm getting a Sprite.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we stopped for dinner on the way home. Bethany, this restaurant gave out Sprite with crushed ice.
Oh my God. How lucky
I know. Okay.
You?
Imagine, you know how good Diet Coke tastes at McDonald's? Because
yes.
You love a good Diet Coke at McDonald's.
Yes.
Imagine if McDonald's had crushed ice.
McDonald's, could you please friggin' get some crushed ice and make my life complete?
That would be orgasmic. It really would.
Speaking of Coke.
Yeah.
So Coke has another fake flavor out where they don't tell you what it tastes like. And it just is like a nondescript thing. So last one was like Coke Interstellar or whatever. This one is Coca-Cola, I think, Dreamland.
Interesting.
Dream World. Coca-Cola Dream World. And the label is teal.
Okay.
And it has like clouds on it and balloons. Anyway. Don't try it. I tried it. It tastes like your dentist's bubblegum flavored fluoride.
Ew.
It's just fake bubblegum flavor.
I don't know why companies do this. Me, for one, I call it like the white airhead syndrome, right?
Yeah.
When I'm a little kid, that's appealing to me. And maybe these companies are not marketing to you and me, Bethany. Well, actually, it worked on you because you bought one.
It did, but I was angry when I bought it. But I did it as market research.
I don't like surprises. I'm never going to buy something where I don't know exactly what kind of product I'm getting on the other end of my money.
Completely. Also, I have a horrible palate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Maybe it's because your fusiform is damaged.
Maybe it's because it's all effed up. And so if you don't tell me what the flavor is, I could not tell you what the flavor is.
Yeah.
And so I'm drinking this nondescript flavor, and I know it's familiar, but I couldn't place it. And then Dennis was like, this is bubblegum. And then it hit me. I was like, yes, you're right. This is bubblegum. But I would never have known otherwise.
Next time I see you, maybe the first time I come and visit you, because we're going to go switch off the houses where we're hanging out with each other and getting work done. The next time I come to your house, maybe Dennis and I should set up one of those boxes where you can't see the drinks and you just go along and try the straws. Have you seen people doing this on social media?
No, I have not.
Yes. So you have a box and you put four drinks inside the box and you put holes in the box and then you put straws. And from the outside, Dennis and I can see where the box is cut open, what drinks you're trying.
Yeah.
But you can't from your end, and you have to take a sip and try and guess what it is.
I totally am down. I will be awful at it. Just promise me one of them isn't secretly urine and that you're all going to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Speaking of urine, I just saw the most fabulous movie. Everybody should run out and watch it. I'm sure it's available for free on a streaming platform, but I watched it on a flight.
Was Ryan Gosling in it? I bet it was good.
It's called Minari.
Okay.
And it is about a Korean family who relocates to Alabama to live on a farm. And then eventually their grandma from Korea comes over and moves in with them. And the little boy, who's never met his grandma before, hates her so much that when she asks for a glass of Mountain Dew, he pees into a cup and gives it to her. And in the moment, you're horrified, but grandma has such a good spirit about it. She's like, she spits it out and she's like, is that urine? And the parents are horrified, but grandma's like, that's actually pretty funny. It is a delightful tale. Everybody should go and watch the movie Minari.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Kathleen, besides urine tasting like bad things and nothing like Mountain Dew, what did you learn this week?
No, Bethany, you tell me what you learned this week first, because I got to figure this out.
As a new home liver in, I have to be more careful about garbage, and because we have to, you know, it's a whole ordeal here.
Yeah.
I was recommended putting newspaper at the bottom of the bag of garbage before you start filling it. So like you have your garbage bag and your garbage bin in your kitchen, and then you put some newspaper at the bottom of it so that the newspaper will absorb anything that may drip or leak. in your garbage so it doesn't come out the bottom of your garbage bag. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But did you have a spillage problem?
No, but I'm just trying to, we have to carry our garbage so far now because the people who pick up the garbage pick it up super far away from our house. So it's like a whole thing.
Gotcha.
So,
you get a workout dropping your trash off.
Oh my gosh. I drop it over a wall and climb down the wall. It's like, it's whatever.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's just a thing.
That's some survivor shit.
What did you learn, Kathleen?
I learned that if you work for yourself and you have clients, when you charge your client X amount of dollars for the work that you're doing for them, what you should charge, what you get paid should be goal-oriented. For example, if it's a seemingly simple job to you, but that client could absolutely never figure it out or do it for themselves, mm-hmm. and also you're solving like a million-dollar problem for the client, million-dollar problems that you are solving deserve more money.
Ooh, that's a good lesson. Because a lot of people think, well, if it's easy to me, it's not valuable.
Yes.
But what's easy to you is not easy for other people. So just because it's easy for you doesn't mean it's not valuable.
Yes. So don't undersell yourself. Because just because you're good at setting up social media projects or platforms for other people and teaching them how to do it, if their business is going to grow by $1 million or infinitely because you're setting mm-hmm. this up for them, you're solving a $1 million problem for them. And so therefore, just because it's simple for you doesn't mean you should charge less money.
That's great, Kathleen.
Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. What about you, Kathleen?
At Kathleen Loves Color on everything. Kat Loves Color on Twitter.
You can also follow our show on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have a snail mail address for you. And that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We also have an email address, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
And at the end of every episode, we play your voicemails. You can call us and leave us a message at 917-994-0353.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
And if you want to hang out and join in on the conversation, we do live shows twice a month on our Patreon. And there's a live running chat and we can invite people up on screen with us. And we always have a really good time. And you can get in on that action at patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. Alicia from Boston. I wanted to call because I just finished listening to this episode and you guys been talking about the great resignation or great exodus, whatever you want to call it, and salaries and how you can really get a much larger salary these days with everyone fleeing their jobs and employers really scrambling to make people want to come to work for them. Well, you know, I had this experience. I left my job over the summer that I thought I'd be out for years, but, during the pandemic, it just was very clear it wasn't working out. I worked for a recruiter. I got a salary in my offer letter from my now job that was like 60% higher than what I was making. I knew I was slightly underpaid in my old job, but like I just was blown away by their offer. It was amazing. So I shared that with one of my best friends at work at my old job. She just got a new job. And she actually, because she knew what my experience had been, she had pushed for a salary like mine. They're initially like, that's too high. And she negotiated with them. And I'm so proud of her. And it's just, I think that's the power. And, the only people that hurt from people sharing how much they make with each other is the employers. So, talk to your people, especially if you have trusted work friends, and just start feeling from the feelers out. Because I think compensation is a huge piece. And clearly we all know that wages haven't kept up with inflation. So, talking with your friends and see if you can help each other out. I think there's no harm in being honest with your trusted colleagues, and all the more power to each other. Hope you guys are having a nice day and talk to you later.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, but specifically Kathleen, this is Taste Bud Christina from Jersey. My in-laws were also just in Alaska. They were going to go on a cruise and they did the land excursion beforehand. And my father-in-law had the sniffles and they were like, oh no, it's probably COVID. And then everybody else was like, nah, it's probably not COVID. And then it turned out that it was COVID and he just had the sniffles. So it's some kind of Alaskan COVID. I just thought that was so weird of a coincidence that I had to stop and call you and tell you, Kathleen, that you and your friend are not the only ones who got, like, Alaskan COVID. Also, apologies to anyone who's from Alaska. No tea, no shade. Just thought that I'd share. I hope that you're both having a wonderful day, and I look forward to your next episode. Bye.
So, Bethany, you said that birds are not eating your birdseed. So it actually has nothing to do with the birdseed and everything to do with that. It is actually a known fact that birds will not eat at houses where they know a lot of demonic ghosts live. So that's the reason. Congratulations. Love you. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Danielle from Pennsylvania, and I was listening to your latest bonus episode. You were talking about long-term disability. Well, I am now dealing with that firsthand. My husband had a stroke in May, Friday the 13th to be exact. Great day. But anyways, he never signed up for long-term disability, only short-term, because like you said, you never think. You're young. You don't think you're ever going to need that. Well, here we are, almost 6 months after his stroke, and now we can receive no more funds because the short-term disability has ran out. So, yes, sign up for long-term disability because you never know when you're going to need it. And also, insurance is the biggest scam in the United States. I've been fighting for over 2 months to get any kind of help for my husband, trying to get him to go to physical therapy, trying to get help with some of our bills, and it's been a fight tooth and nail. You have to jump through so many hoops, and I feel like they do it because if you don't jump high enough, you'll give up. Anyways, sign up for that long-term disability and get insurance because we're definitely learning the hard way. Thank you, ladies. I love your podcast. I listen every week. Look forward to it, and I will listen to you later. Thanks. Bye.